Okay. So continue on.
Yes. So what else is consent? They searched his car, and then they found probably a little marijuana in his car. That's not a problem, but they found a shotgun. However, they asked him for a license. He didn't have any license. I don't know the whole detail because I wasn't there. But he, you know, according to the lawyer, that he told me that, oh, your son had a shotgun in the car, and that's no, totally no. But then he says he apparently told the lawyers, the court or anything, that Article 6 says that no victim, no injury, no crime. So I didn't do any crime. I just was sleeping, and the shotgun was in my car, so well. And they put him in jail. They told him, no, this is just not acceptable in here. And we don't honor these stuff or anything he's talking about. And so they put him in jail, and then I lost track of it, so I called in. I was overseas at that time, so I called in, and then they told me that you have to pay $36,000 bond, and then we released him. After 4 days, they released him, but then you have to have a lawyer, so we spoke to a lawyer. And then when we hired the lawyer, we paid about $35,000 to the lawyer. And the lawyer started to work on this case. But then he's supposed to be attended every month, at the 10th of every month since last July to this July, 2016. He was going to Chicago, renting a car, staying in the hotel, going to the court, and no job. Of course, he doesn't have job. And I was wondering, I couldn't afford anymore because I was the one who was supposed to pray for everything. Then he flew to Chicago every month, attended the court, and then he said, I'm going to the trial, but then yesterday the lawyer says that you don't plead guilty, the trial is not going to help you, you're going to be in jail for the rest of your life. But if you plead guilty, we're going to put you in 3 years. Now he says, I want to take this. So on Monday, we have to go and turn him in. And he has the last court, and then he's going to put him in jail.
Okay.
So I don't want him to go to jail for something that that's not a crime. I know. It's a Sixth Amendment. It's the Second Amendment. Mm-hmm. I don't want him to go to jail for constitutional rights.
Right. And it's crazy. So he was just traveling from New Jersey to California, got a little sleep in Chicago, just pulled over on the road, then the cops came over and just harassed him and did all these things, mm-hmm. and at that point, they found a shotgun, and that was it, because Yeah, and they just really want to get him in jail,
They put him in jail right away, at that night.
Okay. Yeah, that's, wow. And how long ago was this?
This was July 6, 2015, first time that he was got captured on the road.
Okay. And Monday they're having a court case. Now, is there any particular hearing time, or is there a time that he's supposed to be sentenced?
Yeah, the hearing was always every month. He has to attend the court. I don't know the details because my son he's 30 years old. He didn't want to tell me everything, but he was like, he's so desperate. Truly, he lost his mind. Because he keeps on telling me that I'm not a criminal. I'm not a criminal. They just did this to me. I just used my Second Amendment. Everybody has that right. And then, when he spoke about it, apparently in the court, because I'm Turkish national, but my son was born in New York. He's absolutely American. Mm-hmm. So, and then he says, when I mentioned this in the court, my case got wrong, worse, you know, when I told him that I just used my rights.
Yeah, they don't really like that.
No.
You know, it's crazy.
So he got himself in more trouble than it was supposed to be.
So what we'll do is you send me the information over about where they're trying him and all this.
Okay.
And what we can do this as soon as you can. And what
I'm sorry to get you off. You know, I hear so much caring voice. I want to cry because everybody was trying to take advantage of my son. I'm so sorry, Sandy. One second. Can I get you a phone? Because I don't know all the details. So,
okay.
If I can have him call you himself and speak to you, because right now he just went to, God knows, try to do anything he can. So if he comes back tomorrow, can he call the rabbi to you and tell you all the details, please? And then you can refer us to the lawyers in Chicago. We go tomorrow to meet him.
Sure. So what I'll do is I'll give you my phone number now.
Okay.
And then what I'll ask you to do is also send me an email, because I want to make sure I spell everything right and everything like that.
Okay.
So do you have a pen and paper right now?
Yes, everything ready.
Okay. So you want to call 518-512-9240.
Okay.
And then my email address is Carl with a K.
Carl with the K. I think I have your email address, Carl with the K.
Okay. What I'll do is I'll call you and in addition send me the details of that email.
Okay.
So
when Mike comes tomorrow, because he can, even God knows what time he comes, I don't want to disturb you at this time. Later today, but tomorrow if we call this number, and then he can email you everything, all the details, because he knows better than me. I was all supporting so he can go. So I don't know the details, and he never told me. He might be opening up with you better.
Yeah, that would be fine. He can call me anytime tomorrow, probably after 9:30 or 10 Eastern Standard Time, or Eastern Daylight Time. It's the best time to call me.
Oh, God, I appreciate it. Yes.
Yeah,
trust me, if you like yourself, I'm so I'm done. Let's go. Do you have any more questions?
Okay, well, you just call me then, and we'll talk more.
Okay, thank you so very much.
You're welcome. Absolutely. So I'm going to mute a couple people. There's some background noise right now.
Am I supposed to, I need to ask, do I have to punch something to get in on this?
No, go ahead. Do you have one of the, a case this week or anything
no,
else?
No, I need some information because I believe the marshals are going to be showing up tomorrow at my house.
Okay.
And I talked to you last week.
Yes, okay. Right, that was the last week you were on the call.
I need to ask
I remember, I remember. Yeah, I was, we were talking about trying to get you to Brent Winters, because he was in the same state as you.
I've never got a response from him.
Yeah, it can be, he could be slow, he might be busy. I know he has a lot on his plate. So, chime in. What progress you said.
So how do I do, how do you want me to deal with this? What I'm saying is, you say you're going to mute things. How do I get in if you're going to mute things?
Oh, no, I was muting people with background noise. If you want to talk, you can talk right now.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Well, okay, there is a possibility that it's going to be a summons rather than an arrest. I don't know that for sure. I just know that once God dealt with me about yielding myself totally to his will, that the Lord told that person, I will not be arrested. But God hasn't said that to me. The thing of it is, I don't know what all marshals do. I do know that they do arrest. I also know that they do serve summonses. What else kind of thing could they be doing?
I don't think they'll do an arrest unless there is a specific reason for it. What I know is generally the best thing to do is to be nice to the police officers, be nice to the marshal. And you can be you can be forceful in what you say, but not necessarily, you know, don't go all out and say things that might get you in contempt.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
In other
so,
words, just kind of keep myself quiet. Okay.
Yes. Generally, the phrase I usually hear is most of the time people who speak too much are the ones who generally get in the most trouble. So,
okay.
You know, a lot of times, too, it's better to write down what you're going to say before you say it, or just write it down and hand it to them as some paperwork without saying anything at all. Because
but see, I don't know what they're, I don't know exactly what's going to be coming off. Anyway, I do want to ask some questions about a summons. What is the lawful process that they, we know they don't do it, but what is the lawful process of serving a summons?
Well, summons is a requirement to show up. And
yeah.
So, for example, I'll just give you one that I had recently. I had a jury duty summons. And because it was jury duty, that's a common law thing. And part of our system, they have the lawful legal requirement to come. If there's some sort of case against you in particular that or you're going to get a summons for any reason, there has to be some sort of reason for you to be summoned. They can't just summon you because the judge just felt like summoning you.
Yeah,
necessarily.
I understand that.
Yeah. So the legal lawful process is that they notify you that you need to show up and that you do show up when they say. Now, generally, they give you about 30 days, depending on which type of case. Sometimes they'll give you more or less. But sometimes they won't even tell you at all. And the only way you'll be able to figure that out is if you look. The easiest way now is to look online or to call in to see, hey, is there any particular reason I need to show up? Because there wasn't any particular case with you yet. Am I correct on that? Is there any case against you?
I just know this, that because I have discerning of spirits, Monday at 11, between 11 and 11:40, I knew they moved against me because it was an evil spirit that attacked me. And so that's the reason I'm figuring they'll probably show up about tomorrow.
Okay, so if they do show up tomorrow, then they can't really take you in for summons that day that I know of. They may want to take you in for questioning or something like that. If they do try to question you, the best thing I could tell you is just to tell them as little as possible, but be nice to them. And
well, see, they've got a lot of... Okay, I'm then the one that's been going against, going after the judges for what
right.
they're doing. I've been writing writs of error. I've been writing... claims against them, and I wrote misconduct. So they have a lot of information on me already.
Right, absolutely. But don't give them an excuse to go in. If you feel like they are going to come and show up, the best thing to do is like ask for a warrant or something, and don't invite them in, because once you invite them in, that opens you up for trouble, because they'll find something wrong. They're really desperate sometimes. They'll say that the angles of your walls aren't right and the violation
really?
Of this and that. They get really ridiculous. Yeah, I've heard some pretty ridiculous things. Maybe not that in particular, but they'll go after, you know, some sort of code violation in your home. They'll say that...
Find that real easy in this place.
Yeah. Yeah, so don't
I got a slumlord, okay?
Yeah. Yeah, so don't invite them in unless they have some warrant or something, but you can be nice and
okay,
talk
now,
to them.
Now, another question I have is, for the process of a warrant, am I understanding correctly that if a person has to make out an affidavit, to either give it to the sheriff or the administrator of the grand jury, and then they investigate and write a presentment to the for the judge to make a warrant? Is that the process that it goes through?
I actually don't know the whole process, but generally it's very simple to get it. You just need a judge's approval. You might just need to like in our world today, you might just need an attorney saying to a judge, hey, I want to search this place and that, and they'll probably approve it. But a lot of times they won't even bother with that, and they'll show you a piece of paper that's blank and just like go into your house and search everything when they're supposed to specify the specific places and the reason why they're searching.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what they would want from you in particular unless they're trying to find something.
Yeah. Well, that, the main reason I'm asking that is because of the front. I fully am aware that God has gave me orders to go to the courts, and I'm doing this under the auspices of the Lord. It's just that I don't know everything I need to know.
I understand. But it's also hard, too, for me to say something because things haven't unfolded to a point yet where you don't know what direction it's going. And, you know, a lot of this is just waiting for God and things to unfold.
And then we notify you when I have a court date?
Yeah, if you do get a court date, let us know and we'll help you. I don't really know. They might leave you alone. I really don't know what they'll do for you at this point. And they could leave you alone for 5 months and then just one day, like, come into your home and just, you know, say, all right, we're charging for this or that. It could be 2 months down the road they summons you to a trial. It could be they ask you to come in. You know, there's so many different things. So,
they'll play the game the way they want to.
Yeah, and it just depends on what type of game they want to play right now. So
I have the promise from the Lord that this is going to change.
Oh, I don't doubt that. It's just figuring out what's going to happen between it's staying
following
and
the leading
and
of the Holy. It's having us having backbone to stand up. It's us doing what we're supposed to be doing, when we're supposed to be doing it, and prayer of all things. So, and one of the things that the Lord spoke to me, very quietly, he said, you will use the blood of Jesus. So I am going to get, I've ordered a study on the blood of Jesus.
Okay.
So well, I'm going to encourage my faith that way.
All right. Well, God bless you, really. And, you know, let us know how things are going, what happened, and we'll certainly help you out.
Okay. Let's see. Is there anything else I need to know? Should I try to get a hold of Brent again, or just my?
What I do is wait, because as of right now, I just feel like things are there. What's happening in between will decide really what actions are taken.
When I know more, then. Something.
Exactly, yes. What I would do is I wait till the weekend. I don't think they're going to come and arrest you before then.
Now that I have surrendered myself, because, see, I have physical problems, I have pain and no matter where I walk. I have faith in God that I shall be totally restored. But at the moment, everything is very painful for me. And so that was the one thing that was holding me in reserve as far as being willing to yield myself to the situation. And as a result, once I did that, then God spoke to my friend and said, and she's the one that seen the action in a vision, she said, God told her she will not be arrested. So I believe it is probably a summons.
Yeah. So, yeah, if it's a summons, you're going to have time. And if you have time, then we could decide why they're summoning you. Because who knows what they're going to summon you.
Well, I got a pretty good idea because I cross wires with them because they don't like being told they're wrong.
Right, I understand. But you still don't know what they are going to, they may summon
you
for.
Yeah, what they're going to pull.
Yeah, I don't know what they're going to. Yeah, they make it up, so I can't tell you. You know what I mean? It's like, I don't know where they get their stuff from if they did. Yeah, I think we have a better insight into what the hell they're doing, but, you know, they just make up things, I think, on the go.
Yeah, well, God has promised me that he was going to reverse everything, reverse the decision, then he said he wanted it published. Well, that's my complaint in Chicago. None of that has happened. And then he, later on at another time, said, my power will be in the meeting. Well, that could be in a courthouse, or that could be some other, you know, something, other situation. So I don't know the whole thing. I don't have total insight.
Right. So let's see on Friday how things go. Let us know what happens. And do you mind if I move on elsewhere? Because I don't think I have any more advice I could give you or
I appreciate it.
Yeah,
I'll
no
just
problem.
Let you go, and thank you very much.
All right. Thank
Carl,
you.
Carl, can I say something, please?
Sure. Go
ahead. That lady you're talking to, remember, if they show you a warrant, make sure that it's a search warrant, a Fourth Amendment search warrant. They might show you a different warrant, and don't think that that's a invitation for them to come into your house, number one. Number two, they may just be coming to talk to you. Because
well,
if you filed
that.
All the...
I've already had that filed, 3 times. They've
yeah, well, maybe.
That.
Well, they may want to do it again with some other marshals. To try to trip you up and try to get you to say something different than what you said originally.
Okay.
So just be aware of that. Stay on your toes and just dance with them. You know, be nice to them and just say, you know, that I just stand on my rights to have to be shown a warrant, a search warrant, if you wanted to come into my house. But they shouldn't have any reason that they'd want to come into your house other than to entrap you into something. They have no reason to come into your home.
Well, see, that the first time they came into my home, I didn't know these things.
Right.
And they didn't do anything other than talk to me and try to get me to step aside because I was sending them all the information. I wasn't able to use my summonses. And,
right.
And so I made my complaints. So I was sending them to the marshals, and I was sending them to the sheriff, and I ended up sending them to the governor of the state and passed them around. And so he was trying to get me to stop doing that by sending them to him personally. I sent him some poetry and some information. I'm not going to step aside just because they want me to, okay?
Right, send it private. Anything you send it to them privately. And if they
you
did
mean,
see some the time they came into your house, maybe they have done an investigation in their offices and figured there was something in your home that they noticed that they want to either come back in and reassess, or they may want to take you or charge you with something
okay.
at that point.
Okay?
So just don't let them in your house. It's your place.
Yeah, okay. Even if they show me a warrant.
Well, if they show you a warrant for a search warrant, then you have to let them in.
Oh, I do. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Then they'll
okay.
resist. But just make sure they give you a copy of it.
Yeah, and find out who signed it, whether it was a judge or whether it was a clerk, huh?
Right, a clerk, I think, yeah, has to be signed by a judge. Also, if they hand you a warrant, you know, read it first before you even allow them to go in.
Okay.
Okay?
I have a feeling that's not going to be the way it's going to happen.
Right, right.
I suspect a summons, but there again,
yeah.
I'm an assumption, so.
Yep. It don't sound too serious, though.
So. Okay.
All right, keep us posted. Thank you. Good luck. God bless you.
Thank you.
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
So,
bye.
Before you go any further, I do want to know if the two people have their court cases coming up, the one tomorrow and the one next week on the 16th, are here. So are either of you here and want to speak about that? I think it was Mark, and it was, let me just load the page. Okay, so it was Anthony as well. So it was Mark and Anthony. If they're on here, you can start talking now. If not, we can move on. I'll briefly go over their cases. So Anthony has a court case tomorrow in Illinois, Waukegan, Illinois, and the prosecutor is trying to forfeit on a car. And they didn't serve an affidavit stating there's no IRS form or anything. And So what he says is the prosecutor is trying to forfeiture on Carr and did not answer affidavit stating no IRS form 4490, 1099, 1099 OID, 1099A, 1099B, and 56 fiduciary. I stated interest in my property, restored whole, but it denied the default judgment for no witness to cause. He denied the motion to dismiss for no cause. The judge failed to state his delegation of Anthony of Congress to presiding in court, and the judge denied a writ of error, opportunity to amend, and default, and continued to violate due process. So I hope I read that right. I'm just kind of reading off the website here. So apparently he was legally stopped with no license or plates, and you know, they harassed him on that. The other case is the one on the 16th, and this one is about how they coerced them into a plea under duress in Nevada, and now they're doing all their stuff to try to get him in jail, based on what I'm reading here. So Mark Cordova is the name for that. So those are the two cases, one in Illinois and the one in Nevada. Does anybody else have anything else they want to discuss? Any updates of their own? And any important court cases that are coming up in the near future? Maybe not this week, but maybe next week or something else that you need help with. Okay. You know, it's 9:35 right now. If nobody else has anything else, I'll just end it here. Does anybody else have any final words or anything else they want to say before we end the call?
Yeah, hi. I just wanted to add to the regarding the search warrant. If they provide, if they do show one, make sure that it's signed, and they're probably not going to provide a copy, so you should take a picture of it with the phone and make sure that you can see the signature.
I don't have a, I don't have any way of doing that.
Even if you any camera would do, any digital
we'll
camera.
Have
if you
any
have anything.
Means to do that at all? None.
Oh, okay. So I mean, they are supposed to give you a copy of it, but they probably will tell you that they'll mail you one, and you probably won't ever get it. But so you might want to look into.
Probably nothing.
Even a phone that's not in service has a camera, like any phone.
I've got a landline. I don't have a phone. I don't have.
Oh. Okay.
I don't have a cell phone. I don't have any of that stuff. I don't own a camera.
Well, I guess just make sure it's signed, and if it's not signed, then just say no and just write it down that I looked and I didn't see it signed, and maybe just get the details of it. You know, write it down on a piece of paper, what all the details are.
And don't forget to tell them that you're in common law jurisdiction at your home, and that if it isn't signed, it isn't worth anything.
And if you can't read it, ask them what the name is, because ultimately that's the person who's going to be responsible for.
At least write the name down that's on there that's in typed.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Can I say something? Can I bring something up here? Okay, number one, the search warrant must be signed by a judge of jurisdiction, not stamped. You know how sometimes they have their name on a rubber stamp and they'll stamp it? That's not good. It has to be signed by the judge of jurisdiction. Okay, number two, the signature.
When you mean jurisdiction, what do you mean?
Okay,
that he has authority over you.
Right.
Okay.
For a reason. Law.
If you brought it into the common law by your papers that you filed, then it has to show that he has the jurisdiction for that case.
Okay, well, I've been bringing it into common law. That's
okay.
Right.
He's got to show jurisdiction.
Right. The signature must be legible, number two. Number three, the judge must print his name under his signature. It must be printed, not typed. Number four, the warrant must be imprinted with the court seal. Number five, the warrant must state the areas to be searched and the item or items that are being sought. Number six, the warrant is to be accompanied by two signed affidavits giving reason for the search. Number seven, the warrant must...
Two signed affidavits, okay.
Next. Okay. Number seven, the warrant must be presented and the person or persons allowed to read the said warrant. In other words, they can't just say, well, I have a warrant, it's in the car, so you have to let us in. That doesn't cut it. That don't get it. They have to show it to you, and you have to read it before you give them permission to go in.
Okay.
If any of the above conditions are not complied with, the search should not take place. If the search is conducted, it is an illegal search, and the officers conducting the search are subject to legal action.
Okay, so we're saying I'm under common law jurisdiction, that it's not to be a stamped jurisdiction. It must be legible. It must be printed name, not just typed, a court seal. What was that other one for? Area to be searched. Yeah, can't read my writing. Okay. Area to be searched. And two signed affidavits.
And giving the reasons why the search has been issued.
Okay. And
two witnesses.
Right.
Stating it.
And then a warrant for...
they must give you the warrant and allow you to read it.
Okay.
That way you can look and see if all of that criteria is in the warrant. And if it's not, then you object to it immediately to whoever is giving you the warrant.
Okay.
Got to have the court seal, the stamp.
Okay.
Court stamp on it, you know.
I understand that part.
Okay, there's one more thing. The last thing is, if a search is conducted, any items that are removed must be listed. A copy of the listing document is to be provided to the resident or owner of the premises.
In other words, list all items.
That they take, yes. It's like an inventory.
And give you the list.
Yes, you have to have a copy of it.
And then I need a copy of the warrant.
Yep.
Yeah, because if you have money or anything there, they're going to take it.
Oh.
Gold, they took a friend of mine, they took his gold. $15,000 of gold.
Well, I just got paid.
Hasn't seen it.
Got paid yesterday.
Well, they may take your guns or whatever they think they can take.
That stuff.
Now this is something
in your pocket.
Pardon?
This is something you want to remember, folks. In all cases, landowners must have their properties posted with a Title 18 no trespass sign. If law enforcement violates this sign without proper paperwork or does not have jurisdiction, they are subject to a $5,000 per day per incident fee.
Okay.
Be sure to get the officer's names. Be sure to get the officer's names and badge numbers.
Yeah, and you might want to do that first thing there. You might just want to politely say, hello, officer, how are you? What is your name and all that? Because if they see any sort of edginess on your part, like you standing up for your rights, they shut down and they won't say anything about them. But
say that again.
So
about what?
You want to try to ask them their names very first thing you do, but do it politely and naturally. Like, say, hey, I'm so and so, what is your name? And at the very least, like, they'll give you their first name. Because if you, like, say you're standing up for your rights and all this, they'll, like, shut down. And they'll be like, I don't know my name, or something stupid like that. So,
are you just a notice up on the door and tape it to the door? Notice, names and titles are needed and allowed to be asked. This is common law.
Yeah, you could do something like that, or just sort of remember to say that first, because if you are so like, what's your name, like midway through and maybe they feel a little threatened because you're in the right and they're in the wrong, they're going to be quieter and they won't say much.
Okay.
So they're not going to tell you who did what or this, but if you just ask them, oh, hey, where are you from? What's your name? Very first thing, at least you have that.
Okay, I already got the name of the head honcho. I know him. I don't know the other guy. And that may not be the other guy this time. Anyway, I just pray for me to have the wherewithal to do all this, because this is new to me.
Okay.
Okay, another thing you want to consider, that when you first come in contact with any officer, whether you're in your car or they come to your home or whatever the case is, it could be a zoning person, it could be a dog license person, the very first thing you want to do is to ask them for their card, B-A-R-D, their business card. They must carry a card with them that describes who they are and who they are working for with their bond number on it. Title 5, United States Code, Section 552, states that an officer must provide a card, identification card, upon request. Otherwise, they are out of uniform and are acting under color of law and are impersonating an officer.
Oh.
And it's punishable.
In other words, I can ask them for their card, their name, their card and,
yes,
and bond number.
Yeah,
right.
and that will have it, all the information on their card, if you can get
it.
So
if they don't give it to you, write it down on your pad. Write down on your pad if they gave you a card or not. If they didn't give you a card, then write down the name of the person that did not give you their card.
Okay.
Because you'll need to know that. That's exculpatory evidence for you, and then you can bring it later if you have to.
That's a lot to think about.
Yes, it is. It is.
Yeah, it all goes in order.
Just remember, they're servants. You're the boss. You're their employer, and they are servants. So they have a protocol they have to follow. So just keep that in mind.
And they have blood on their hands.
Oh, you bet.
Yeah, they do.
So I don't know how to turn this on, but it's going to happen.
It's not too bad. It's just write down them in order, which you're going to ask, and you'll be able to remember.
Well, yeah, I've got to try and have a piece of paper with all that on at the door.
Okay.
Right.
That's okay.
And have it right there at the door, ready for it.
Mm-hmm.
And have another piece of paper on there under Title 18, United States Code, no trespassing.
Where do you put that? Do you put that out in your yard?
I put it on my tree.
I have one on my tree right by the highway when they first come into my driveway. Then I have this thing hooked up
and
to my house.
I can't hear you.
Okay,
But you have it where? I'm sorry.
I have it on my tree in my yard right in my driveway where you first come into my driveway. And then I have the same thing again on my house. And then underneath it, I said, this is your second notice.
Okay.
And then if they come to my door, then I have another one on the door. This is your third notice. You have been noticed 3 times. You are now involved in a private contract.
What's the Title 18 and what is the section?
Just all you need to put is just Title 18. Title 18.
Title 18, no trespassing.
Yes, sir. No trespassing. That's all you need to put on there.
Well, I don't have
Who's speaking? Who gave me that information? What's your name?
Which one? Which
you.
Information? On the sign? This is Watchdog.
Watchdog, thank you.
You're
guys
welcome.
Are so smart.
No, I want to say that. Watchdog.
Oh, okay.
W-A-T-C-H-D-O-G.
Gotcha.
You guys are amazing.
And if you want
to
share
the
information, if you want to take care of your digital problem, microcenter.com for $29 has a tablet. It's basically a computer. It has a digital camera and video recorder. $29 is a steal.
It's like the $500 iPad. I can't believe it. It's $29. Microcenter.com.
Wait a minute. Wait. What's that address again?
Microcenter.com.
Microcenter.com. Okay, what's the name of the item?
It's a tablet. Just look up tablets. You'll see they start at $29. That one is the size of an iPad. You know, it's a pretty nice-sized tablet. It has Wi-Fi. It has digital camera and video. And it's a real steal, and you can add external storage, you know, via the SD cards if you need to add storage or store things off of the device.
So well, that's what we need when we need that when we go into court.
Yeah, that works for anything, really. I mean, anywhere you have a Wi-Fi signal, you can go online and you always have the camera and video usage, you know, Wi-Fi or not.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Great. Hey, thank you very much for that. That's awesome.
Yeah. It's a great gift, too. $29. Can't go wrong.
No, absolutely not.
Yeah, I see it right now, too. It looks nice. So.
It is. I've gifted it out, and I've actually been very impressed with it. I got it from my mom originally. And she didn't know anything about Wi-Fi, and now she's browsing all over the place.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Now she could teach us how to use it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's Android, so you don't have to worry about Windows 10.
Sweet.
Yeah, so, okay, I guess I'm going to end it now. It's getting pretty close to the end of the hour, and I feel like we've had a good call tonight. So I'm going to end the recording, and then I will... post recording as soon as I can. I mean, that'd be till tomorrow sometime, but I'll try to get out there as soon as I can. So, good night, everybody.
Where do we find the recording? Where do we find the recording? There's so much information.
I know. It's under the Courtroom Observer page, so I think you'll find them under committees.
He doesn't have a computer.
Oh.
He needs the phone number, the Monday night phone number.
Oh, for the recording. Right, okay. So the playback number is 605-562-3149.
Okay, but if I wanted to look it up online, thank you for that. If I wanted to look it up online, where would I find it on the website? Because my phone system won't let me do the streaming phone thing, like what you guys are trying to tell me about. So if I want to go on to the NLA website, go to the Court Watchers or Court Observer?
Yeah, so there should be under the Courtroom Observers drop down. So you go to Committees, Courtroom Observers. Then in there, there's a little, it's about the third one down. It says Courtroom Observers Committee. If you click on that one, that is where the Courtroom Observer recordings are.
Okay.
I don't think they've been updated in quite a while, but I'll try to catch up and update them tomorrow.
Well, would you make sure that this one gets on there? Because there was so much information on this call that I just couldn't even get it all written down.
Right. I will definitely do that.
Okay, Carl. And also, I don't want to stir the conversation back up because I know we're shutting down, but just a simple yes or no from somebody. Can't you not accept a summons? When they come to your door, can't you say, like, no, I do not accept that?
No. If it's a legal summons.
Okay,
but
I'll look up.
Yeah, you would need to look up the circumstances around it because you can't necessarily avoid jury duty by saying, no, I'm not coming in for that summons.
Yeah.
So...
they'll just leave it.
Yeah, but it depends. They might
it's
just...
Core. They tape
I
it
think
to the
I've been...
Core.
I know. What? I've been reading about traffic tickets, and they said that you can write something on the traffic ticket that, no, you don't accept this.
Yeah, because they're all tracks.
Yeah, there is something. If you look on the site and you go to the document examples, I think it's under judicial, education, judicial, and then court cases examples. There is something where John had with the summons for the traffic case, whatever it is, and on that he put return for cause.
Okay.
So that is what you would put on the summons, and you return it back to them. You want to return
traffic type summons?
Yes, you would want to put return for cause on
it. But you couldn't do it on the kind of summons that we were talking about tonight.
No, because...
Not if you're handed it. If they handed it to you, no, you can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
It personally served you. Remember, another thing that Carl just said is correct. If you receive a traffic citation, you have 72 hours, once it's in your hand, to return it, and you would stamp it or write across it, refused for cause.
Okay.
And then you send it back to the place whereby the police officer had his home office is, like at the police station or wherever.
Yeah.
You would send it there to him that you do not accept it. It's refused for cause, not accepted.
And can't you do that? Oh, excuse me.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
Can't you do that if somebody's suing you, too?
I don't know.
Okay, because like I thought from what I'm just learning, but what I've been reading is that when you get a summons that somebody's suing you, and I might not have this right, but that they're trying to get you to enter into a contract with them, and you say, no, you're not entering into that contract with them. Well, I don't know. I just wondered what you guys thought.
It would depend on what kind of a lawsuit it is, if it's a contractual one or if there's a damage. If it's strictly a contractual one, like a dog license or something like that, no, I do not contract with you. I refuse to contract with you.
Mm-hmm.
But if somebody is damaged by your dog or a piece of ice fell off your roof or a branch or maybe you bumped into a bicycle or something, that's a different type of a loss. You would have to answer that one.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. You're welcome.
All right. Well, I'll end it here. Good night, everybody, and have a good night.
Thanks, Carl. Good night.
Yep.
Thank
you. Okay, Carl. Thanks.